But it, you know, it's
good morning. It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2011, 10 a.m. In the morning. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and we're meeting in the Public Service Commission hearing room here in the 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. For the record, this is Tony Clark, Commission Chairman.
Good morning, Kevin Kramer. Welcome.
Good morning, Brian Kalk. Welcome. And I also make note of the 70th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attacks today. I was stationed in Kaneohe a few years ago and got a chance to tour that facility. I'm sure there's ceremonies around the state and the country today, but 70 years ago today.
With that, there are items on the consent agenda.
I move passage of consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving to my portfolio. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 60 days, and assess a filing fee of $15,000 due upon filing of an application in case number PU-11-692, Basin Electric Power Cooperative's proposed 345-230 kV Williston Tie Project in Williams County, North Dakota.
Second.
This particular application is the first step in what will be a much larger project that Basin will eventually be proposing to have cited by the commission. And it is a project that's directly related to North Dakota's booming western edge. It really is one that's to support all of the energy development needs that are going on in the western part of the state, especially the northwest part of the state. This particular project is proposed to be just west of Williston. The Williston Tie Project itself, which is the subject of this particular notice that we're receiving, is an approximately 3.7-mile in total portion of a larger project, which will eventually encompass approximately 200 miles from Antelope Valley Station to Nesset, which will be a 345 transmission project that Basin is developing, and we expect at some point in the near future some more filings on that. This first section, it's one that's probably easier explained on a map than through narrative, and a map is attached to the paperwork that was submitted to the commission. But there's currently a Western Area Power has a Williston substation, which is at the present time, folks who travel this part of the state probably know the area very well. It's right where US 85 and US 2 come together, just to the west of Williston. This first little portion of the project will provide transmission line that will eventually hook up that substation with a proposed Judson substation, which is about 2 miles away, and then another line that comes just north of the eventual Judson substation. And as I said, it's a tie project, tying these two substations ultimately together, and we'll have, we expect further submissions from Basin in the near-term future. This one little portion of it, the anticipated cost is approximately $3 million.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC2, I move the commission under NDCC Section 60-02-09.1 adopt the order suspending warehouse license number 1155 of Earth Harvest Mills, Inc., DBA Dakota Prairie Organic Flour Company at their Harvey, North Dakota warehouse, effective December 1st, 2011, for lack of required bond filing, and issue notice of opportunity to be heard in case number GE-11-379.
Second.
This is something that takes effect by virtue of law. The all warehouses are required to have an adequate bond on file, and if one is to expire, has to be suspended within 30 days of its expiration. And staff indicated that there may be some paperwork that is on the way this morning that might allow it to be reinstated, but at least by virtue of law, as of December 1st, it was suspended. So we'll await further paperwork from the company.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC3, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-666 granting the request of Taft Elevator, a division of Rahr Malting company Shakopee, Minnesota, to operate a 3,197,000 bushel grain warehouse at Amenia, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
In this particular case, Taft has followed this application to operate the warehouse. It was one that had actually been operated under a warehouse license at Taft previously, and staff became aware that the Amenia facilities are operated independent of Taft and required that a separate license be established.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kalk.
Good morning. Item BK1, I move the commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's damage prevention enforcement action concerning Kindred Plumbing and Heating, case number PU10649. Basically, in December of 2010, the commission received a third-party damage complaint from Scott Fritz, one-call administrator for Otter Tail. The complaint alleged that a violation had occurred by Kindred and Plumbing of the North Dakota Century Code, basically the one-call law. The law requires that the company must request a one-call within 48 hours of conducting any excavation. Kindred Plumbing was performing an excavation at the Wapta, North Dakota Airport area for the purpose of installing a sewer, and it turned out that they did not first call one call by obtaining – they did not call one call and obtain a proper ticket. The commission is authorized by North Dakota Century Code to impose a fine up to $5,000. Basically, Kindred Plumbing acknowledges that at the time of signing this consent decree – the consent to entry – one more time – the time of signing the consent to entry of order, it is aware of – or have had been advised of rights to a hearing in this matter. And we are authorized to inform disposition of this matter without a hearing. So therefore, Kindred Plumbing is to pay a fine of $1,000 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days of the service of this order. Basically, stepping back a little bit, this is, I guess, the third in a line of what's developing to be alleged violations of North Dakota One Call that our staff becomes aware of. And then we go and do an investigation and determine what the next step might be. And in the process of the investigation, oftentimes a consent decree order like this is arrived at. In this case, the company, there was damage. They determined there was no call, but there was no one who was injured. So I feel that in this case, the $1,000 is appropriate. We are authorized to go up to $5,000. So therefore, I think this is appropriate for the case.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item BK2, I move the commission adopt the consent order in the Public Service Commission's damage prevention enforcement action concerning Avenia, Inc., case number GS11664. This is very similar to the previous order, except there are some big differences when we get towards the end of it. Avenia is a Morehead corporation with principal offices in Morehead, Minnesota. Commission staff conducted investigation November 8th of 2010 for third-party damages that took place in Montreal County, North Dakota. They occurred on a natural gas pipeline operated by WBI, Williston Basin Interstate Pipeline Company. For the purposes of determining whether Avenia violated the North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 49-23. Our staff also investigated a review of the Department of Transportation did concerning this same incident. Also, Montreal County Sheriff's Department investigation report was also reviewed by our staff. Avenia personnel began an excavation in this area to install underground electric cable, and during that time, at approximately 12:57, Avenia equipment struck WBI's 8-inch natural gas pipeline. Based on our interviews with one-call employees and a review of one-call records, Commission staff concluded that Avenia personnel did not provide an excavation or location notice as required by state law within 48 hours before the excavation. It also, our staff concluded that this was not being made in time of emergency and that they did not call they did not call North Dakota One Call. In this case, staff is recommending a $5,000 fine for violation of North Dakota One Call, which is the max that this commission can fine. And I certainly agree with that assessment. This is the case where there actually was a fatality that took place. So it's just reinstates the importance of using North Dakota One Call before you dig.
This is one of those situations where I wish state law allowed the commission to levy a heavier fine. There is there's really no excuse, especially in the case of a company that's involved in the construction business, to not call one call. It's there for a reason. It's a very serious matter. And as we found out in this particular case, the consequences when you hit a natural gas pipeline are extreme and extraordinary. And the law is what it is. I think the message is sent in that we are levying the heaviest fine that is available. But in the great scheme of things, it's not a huge fine. I wish it could be more.
Well, in the great scheme of things, it's almost trivial, quite frankly. The problem with it is the enforcement mechanism and authority that we have with regard to one-call violations is designed not to punish people after damage or fatality or injury has occurred, but rather to prevent it. And so to the degree that it doesn't prevent it, there's no money in the world that compensates for fatality after the fact. So somehow we still have to get to a point where some of this enforcement takes place prior to damage when people are violating, because there are all kinds of violations taking place out there. It's just that nobody calls until there's a damage or an accident. So, yeah, this is obviously the most extreme and unfortunate outcome of failure to call before you dig.
The previous cases that we've had involved Riley Brothers Construction, where there was a $500 penalty that was involved. In that case, there was no damage, no one was hurt, but there was the violation. And then the cases of Lakeside Construction and Kindred, basically it was determined that there was no call made, but there was damage involved. The companies both agreed to pay the damages. And then, of course, the last case of Inya was the company did pay for the damages, but there was a fatality. So I agree with my counterparts that we should perhaps look at something with the legislature to increase the fine, perhaps. But I think it's important that we make sure we have a methodology of how we determine what fines are going to be as this goes forward, because I know, in talking with our staff, these are not the first ones. There's more coming, I guess, if you will.
All in favor?
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
You know, all that discussion, it is an interesting point, because when a fine is such that paying the fine is almost has a better cost-benefit analysis than calling, that's sort of the dilemma, isn't it? How do you find that right mix so that the enforcement mechanism actually does what we hope it does?
Yeah. Ultimately, what you want is compliance.
That's what you want. That's the bottom line.
And I know later on admin, we're going to be talking about Office of Pipeline Safety has their annual inspection of the North Dakota Pipeline Safety Program. And one of the things that they comment on in the context of pipeline safety, which is different than one call, mm-hmm. At least I think it is, under the law,
sure.
Is they have noted that North Dakota's fines do not match what the federal fines are. Federal fines are much more aggressive, and that's something that they will, I think as of this year, begin sort of pinging states on for their in their assessment of your state program. So I'm sure we'll be asked to have the legislature look at adjusting our fines for pipeline safety violations. But I think regulators across the country are getting very serious about pipeline safety, because it's such a what can happen when things go wrong are so devastating. And with as much activity as we have going on, especially in the oil patch, it's something that companies simply have to do. You have to call before you dig.
Well, and just this is a fine levied by the North Dakota Public Service Commission, but there's many other avenues that folks can seek recourse out there that may be happening.
All right. With that, as always, our upcoming meetings are listed in the agenda, and we have to take any questions that there may be.
One question for clarification. You said there was damage at the airport at Wapanin.
Yes.
Do you know what kind of damage was there?
It was a power line. They were hooking up a sewer system, and they repaired the damage. The company agreed to do that.
And we know in the case of the Montreal incident that not only the pipeline was damaged, life was lost, basically.
Yes. There was not an explosion, but the pressure from the gas caused the individual to be removed from the excavating equipment, and a fatality occurred.
So just to also to clarify, since we're talking about maybe the fines should not be high enough, if the fines are high enough, is that going to lead to prevention, or is there some way you could get to it and say, hey, we got a report that you're digging, you know, you need to call one call first, you need to stop this before you get any further?
See, I think you raised the very important point, and that's the discussion we'll probably have. You know, Tony makes a good point, too. The reason that we even have this enforcement authority was as a result of dings in our audit from the Office of Pipeline Safety in the first place. So that was the first step. Now the next step is perhaps the fines aren't aggressive enough. Yeah. But Dave, as Tony said, the point of the enforcement action is compliance, not punitive. And so I think these fines, if people were to be turned in prior to damages, if there are more people that were, if you will, caught. Now, we're not going to put a bunch of pipeline safety police out there. We don't have that luxury of assets. But what's happening, especially in the oil patch, is you've got so much activity happening so fast and such an urgency to get things in the ground that from time to time corners get cut. And the consequences of hitting a natural gas line, and let's face it, we've had a couple of them now, at least. We've had CO2 lines hit. You talk about potential nightmarish consequences. You know, breach of a CO2 line is worse than a gas line. It's hard almost to imagine what kind of a fine would be adequate to compensate for the worst consequence, which is hitting one of those lines. So somehow, this has got to be a cultural thing. It's got to be, everybody's got to be working out together. And I give the organizations a lot of credit. The companies out there are working more closely together, especially the gas pipeline companies. Because what you have out there is, in many respects, the perpetrator one day can be the victim the next day. You can be digging a trench to put an electric line in and hit a gas line one day, and you can be digging for a trench for an oil line the next day, hitting an electric line. I mean, if everybody works together, there's a far better outcome than sort of the fast, urgent pace that's taking place.
Yeah, it does have to be a culture of safety. It may be worth, since we're talking about it, sort of remembering how the $5,000 fine came about, because it. I mean, Kevin mentioned that the realization that we had the authority came through an audit. The interesting thing about this is that it's not a specific fine that the commission is allowed to levy under the one-call statute. This is just the general commission authority to levy civil fines for violation of our statutes, generally speaking. And it came through an interpretation that our legal counsel made that we would be able to fine, but it would just be the sort of general statutory civil fine authority that the commission had. Perhaps it makes sense in light of this and all the activity that's going out to have the legislature specifically look at, is there a higher consequence for violations of the one-call law? Perhaps there needs to be a separate statute related to enforcement authority under that. Kevin's right. I mean, there's almost no fine that you could levy that would be high enough to compensate for things such as loss of life. However, there also is sort of triviality point that I think he raised, which was a good one too, that I mean, $5,000 does sound simply too trivial given the consequence of what happened here and potentially in other cases.
If I could, the level of the fine, I think, has a lot to do with the size of the company, whether it has an effect. When you look at companies like Riley Brothers or Lakeside Construction, these are smaller operations. So I think a $5,000 fine to them is very significant. But when you're dealing with a major, major energy company, it's a different thing. And also, we're focusing a lot today on the discussion in the western part of the state, but three of our consent orders, if you will, are for the eastern part of the state dealing with folks with electricity. And so it can be just as important to make sure you have electricity flowing to your home. Pat and I have spent a lot of time with the Pipeline Authority and also individual companies, and it's a bigger issue of I think the companies really want to do a good job, but we've got infrastructure in the ground that was put in long before we kept very good records of it. And we also have stuff to put in the ground, infrastructure that doesn't have, the right metal in it, if you will, that you can do the locates. So it's in talking with Hess Corporation just the other day, they're looking at ways that they can go out and determine where their abandoned lines are at, because there's no way of figuring those out right now. Yeah. So there's so much going on here, but I think the awareness that, while these fines are, I think the biggest thing about today is it sends the awareness out there that the commission is looking at it, the companies are following through on it, individual contractors. A lot of this with North Dakota One Call gets down to a lower operation subcontracted out. So the subcontractors, I think, are hearing this as well. So I think this is a step in the right direction, but we've just got to keep the focus on it.
Well, and that's why that culture of safety is so important, because even a one call doesn't guarantee
exactly
success. And we found that out in a couple instances here just in the last few weeks where there have been pipeline construction going on. Haven't had major explosions, major damage, but a line has been in the construction process. The orders, the siting orders that we've been putting out for the last several months have said that companies have to stop construction at that point. by virtue of the siting order, if they hit some other infrastructure, they have to stop and get permission from the commission before moving forward again, just to allow some breathing space. And the first question that our staff asked before allowing construction to begin proceeding is, was a one call made? And then we confirm that a one call was made by going through the appropriate records. And in both of the cases, in just the last few weeks where there was a ding, proper one call was made. For whatever reason, the line wasn't appropriately located. We allowed after appropriate measures taken, allowed the construction to continue.
I think one might have been an abandoned line, which couldn't be located. So right. Everything was done correctly except for it. The person hitting that line doesn't know it's an abandoned line.
It is funny, though. We have seen a growing interest in the issue from, and less resistance, I guess, perhaps, from some of the very companies that are out there doing the business, because these gathering lines, and Brian talked about abandoned lines, but, you know, there are perhaps hundreds, if not thousands, of miles of abandoned gathering lines that may be abandoned, may not even really know. There may be nobody that knows exactly where they are, but the uncertainty of what might still be in them still presents some hazard and some risk. So, but we're seeing more interest in sort of identifying those. We make a harder effort, stronger effort, as Tony said, in our orders, not only to sort of stop action if there is a breach, but also to try and get them to get the companies to provide us more information, what is where, so that there is a central point of information for all of that infrastructure. It's just so much going on under the ground. Anyway, it's an interesting topic. It's an interesting time.
The only other question I had is you did mention that the Office of Pipeline Safety, correct?
Mm-hmm.
May ding states like North Dakota for not having a high enough fine, but yet you've got a legislature that doesn't meet, you know, until 2013.
Sure.
Is there going to be a problem with that?
Well,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. You always want 100% on the on your audit that you get, and that does allow you some access to more federal money. The amount of money that we're probably talking about being adjusted here is not going to have a major impact on the program. We'll still be able to run the program. I think it's primarily intended to send a bit of a message and to get states to be coming into what the Fed see as better compliance. But so much of the way the program is run and the things that have been addressed in past audits in this one as well is really directly related to legislative type issues. How many staff members do you have? Well, right now we're authorized basically one FTE. I think something the commission will be looking at, and it's not state secret. I mean, we've been talking about it over the last several months coming out of the last session, is we may need an extra employee to work in that particular division, and I think we'll probably be talking about that as we develop our budget for the next session. It's one of the things that the Office of Pipeline Safety has noted in past audits. Fining authority is a statutory issue and had been dealt with in the past and now has come up again. Training courses are often an issue, and oftentimes that's just a matter of time and making sure that you have access to the courses to ensure your staff is fully trained, so on and so forth. So you always want to get as high a score as you can. Some of the things are within our control as a commission, some aren't.
But it's the whole pipeline program. I think it's very important that we're focusing on it like we are, because the integrity management programs, the companies follow through to make sure that, you know, if there is a ding down the road, they need to make sure the companies identify that and make sure they keep their pipeline in the best shape they can. If at some point there is a spill, we've got the right response plans in place to clean up the spill. So I think the awareness of this is all good all the way around.
All right. With that, we will close this portion of the meeting and return at 10:35 for the remainder.